When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Derek Klassen is a he's part of the Athletic Football Podcast, at QB Class on Twitter. And this little bit of audio popped across my timeline. And I'm hoping this is an optimistic view that you're about to hear on the struggles that C.J. Stroud is going through right now. To me, this is like a best-case scenario, and so I'm hoping that this is an accurate assessment of things. We'll hear from Chris Long a little later in the show. We played him earlier. He's got some concerns. Chris Long, former defensive lineman, about C.J. Stroud. That's a huge topic right now around the league, is what are the Texans going to be down the stretch here, and can they fix things on offense? Here is Derek Klassen on C.J. Stroud kind of pressing right now.
I'm still not really worried about C.J. Stroud. I do think there is an element to it where I think last year got away with a lot because things were just working really well. The offense, the skill players for the most part were a little bit healthier. And I think the run game was helping a little bit more, where it didn't feel quite as disjointed. And I think he was just like, oh, I can just do whatever I want and I can make all these throws. I think right now you can feel he is like taking on a little bit the pressure of the offense, where it's like, oh, all these things are going wrong. I feel a burden to make a play. And this is actually something I wanted to talk about with some other quarterbacks and some other offensive environments. You know, an offensive environment is good when the quarterback isn't worried that a bad play is going to happen. He's just like, you know what? It's fine. We'll get to the next one. And that doesn't even mean the offense is good, right? Like, look at Drake May in New England. That's not a good offense, but you can see in the way that he plays, he's like, I don't need to be worried if a bad play is going to happen. I can get to 2nd and 10. We'll go figure something out. CJ Stroud is just not playing that way right now. He feels like he's got to make the next play constantly. And I think that's a little bit of the issue. So long term, I don't think it's going to kill him. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll come out of it. But like for right now, for the rest of the season, I am a little bit worried that that's probably going to stick around.
Yeah, it feels like he's pressing constantly right now.
Your thoughts, Seth? Do you agree with that assessment of CJ?
Yeah, I think that's a very good read on it. It's that, and it's not an excuse for CJ. It's something that I think CJ would take accountability for. But I think there's times where he's consciously trying to make the smart decision and holding off on pulling the trigger on some plays that he otherwise would have normally made. But there is also a part of him that, he doesn't look like he's stepping into his throws even when he's not under pressure at times. I don't know if he can drive the ball downfield the same way he could last year, including, you know, the throw to Nico that, you know, Nico had to slow down for a little bit. When he hesitated to pull the trigger a couple weeks ago with Tank Dell in the end zone, and that ended up being an interception versus the Lions, I wonder if he just either doesn't trust his own ability, or there's some kind of injury issue or something going on where There's multiple factors at play, but something ain't right. Like, something just ain't operating the way that we used to watch him operate. Now, part of it, too, is I don't think Bobby Slowik provides him with easy answers to the test often enough. I don't think the short game, I don't think the hot routes, I don't think the crossers over the middle, all of those things, I don't think that it's being dialed up for him as well as it could be. That, again, all comes back to, all right, how is Bobby Slowik operating this offense? Why are there so many things that aren't working? At the end of the day, you've got way too many players who are underperforming based on their previous performances, whether it's quarterback or not, that it's impossible not to just wonder, all right, would it be different with somebody else running the whole operation? When you get up week after week and say execution is the issue, Sean, what have I been saying since week one? Yeah, execution is on the offensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
That's ultimately yes, whether it's play calling or execution. If you got to divide it up into those two buckets, it's on the offensive coordinator. And right now, very few people are executing properly on that team. And it just, whether it's quarterback or not, it's impossible to, there's so many things that aren't functioning properly that it's impossible to just narrow it down to something that isn't related to something else. It's one big death spiral.
What do you think the chances are that a change gets made during the bye week?
2%.
You think they just stick with this and they're rolling?
Yeah, I think that D'Amico is wired to see the upside and the positivity in things, which is great. There is a time, and this is why you have a GM, and this is why you have a head coach. Ideally, those should be two people that the coach, yeah, it's awesome that he's loyal to his guys. It's awesome that he sees the best in people and their upside. You got to have that personality that's somewhere on the spectrum, basically, with your GM, where you can separate all the human stuff, separate the positivity from the negativity, everything else like that, and just look at it objectively. And it might be a really difficult conversation and discussion that Caserio and D'Amico have during the bye week. And maybe they've already said, like, look, we can't do this right now. Wish the bye week was earlier, but we're going to table this discussion for the day after the Jaguars.
Till the bye week. Yeah. We had somebody suggest on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, could you see, it was interesting the way the text was phrased, and I've lost it here amidst the sea of text that we've gotten here, but it was something to the effect of, could you see Nick bringing in Josh McDaniels to be the OC for this team? And I thought it was interesting, the phraseology of it, that it would be Nick. Reading into that, the texter seems to be phrasing it in a way where Nick is bringing his guy in to be D'Amico's offensive coordinator.
I know. I think there's just way too much potential baggage there. And with all due respect to Josh McDaniels, who seems to be, he's an offensive coordinator, pure and true. He's not meant to be a head coach, but there are a lot of guys like that who are really good offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
If he did that, it would not be in the middle of the season.
No. I think they were asking after the season's over. Yeah.
I think you would still go with, and I think D'Amico would feel this way, I think he really likes the Shanahan system, the Kubiak-Shanahan system.
Yeah.
And when executed properly, no can defend. It is the crane kick.
It is the crane kick.
It's just really, really hard when that offense is well executed and you've got the right people in place. It's really hard for defenses to go get. And like I say that as a defensive player who's played against those schemes, going back to Mike Shanahan, it's true. When it's well executed, you just feel like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
Even when you're doing the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing. And that's not the way this offense is operating right now.
Do you subscribe to the theory that the league is catching up to it a little bit? That so many teams run it, that teams may be struggling running it? Because I know San Francisco's had injury issues, but they've been struggling. You know, Shanahan himself has been struggling with it. I hate to use the Texans as a template for an example that there's struggle going on league-wide. I feel like the Texans' struggles are independent of the system. They're just not well coached.
I guess the most notable guys would be Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur Mike McDaniel.
Yep.
I think it's more of a matter of, like, it's like anything else. When more and more people start using something, then, chances are it's not going to stay. Yeah. It gets adopted. There's elements of it and all of that that it dilutes it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think at the core of it, it's still resoundingly successful, and it's a matter of having the right people doing it and the right guys calling the plays.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, text message. Bobby looks like he has no backbone, like he gets bullied a lot and just does nothing. He has a hard time holding people accountable. Are we back to where we were in the open of the show where Bobby's got his hoodie with the long sleeves on and is at the arcade? Is that where we are?
Well, I think one thing that comes along with it, though, too, and this is something that's – this is not just a grumpy old man take. This is very real, I think. I think there's a lot of young coaches that feel this way. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of whiteboard geniuses. I mean, it's been this way forever in football. It's just pick your flavor of which offense is popular at the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of whiteboard geniuses out there. There's a lot of guys that are really good at scheming stuff up and everything. But like Bum Phillips said, coaching isn't about what you know. It's about what you can get your guys to do.
Mm.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, you can be and this is why we see this in life, you know? In any organization, there's usually some super smart, the IT people, probably the smartest people in your organization, but they're not necessarily the best people at actually implementing all of their ideas, right? It's a different skill set. And I think Slowik might be on that whiteboard warrior side of things, where I think he's probably got he's got a brilliant mind in a lot of ways, but actually getting the guys to do the things you want them to do, that's coaching.
That's coaching and teaching. That's what that is.
You know, it's the difference between theory, like an economics professor versus an actual CEO.
Yep.
The economics professor, most economics professors know this. Like, yeah, I'm really freaking smart and I know a lot about business, but I'm not the guy to run a business.
Yeah.
And is Bobby an economics professor more so than a CEO?
That's a great analogy. He did come from Pro Football Focus back in the day, right?
Right.
Wheatstraw texts in, what does all this do for Gerard Johnson? I guess meaning all the potential churn maybe, or is the offense being poor right now? Obviously, Bobby Slowik's star has been drastically impacted by this. At least I think it has. Who knows? Maybe when the coaching cycle pops up, Bobby's back and getting interviews and whatnot. He still has five games to fix this
thing. He's a very good. I can see just from his press conferences, I know that he's going to, like he did this last year, there are very positive reports about the way he interviewed.
Yeah.
I think if he gets interviews this offseason, it'll be more of an exploratory variety. It's going to be teams that are like, okay, this guy's got something to him. We don't know what it is. We're not ready right now, but we want to have it. So I predict that Bobby Slowik will get four head coaching interviews, but none of them will actually be serious.
I'll take the
under. It's going to be doing advanced scouting on Bobby Slowik for a future date.
Okay. I take the under on that right now, four. But Gerard Johnson, does Gerard get negatively impacted by what's going on with it? I mean, Gerard was getting interviews for offensive coordinator jobs last year. You know,
that's
the QB coach get dragged down into this sludge right now?
Yeah, I think it probably does.
It can't be positive,
He'll get fewer interviews than you would have thought he would.
Yeah. It can't be positive.
Okay, no, I got it. Now I've got a grudge match against you, the over-under. Because I specifically said they won't be real interviews. They're going to be exploratory interviews with Bobby Slowik.
Okay.
And teams are...
How are we going to know that they're exploratory versus real? You know, like...
You just had over-under on the number. So, on the number of head coach interviews.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, I don't ultimately care whether they're exploratory or not.
I got you.
Does he actually interview?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like,
because remember, teams are taking their time these days with hiring coaches.
They are.
They're interviewing 10 different people, you know. So, I think he gets some interviews.
Okay, grudge match. Okay, so you put the number at 4. I'm taking the under right now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Good. All right, I like this. A show bet. Good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a... on a Tuesday, D'Amico Ryans is taking one of his rules, tearing it up, and throwing it out the window. We will let you hear from his coach's show what that is coming up next.